committee. It is 10:05 a.m. Thank you all for being here, and could you call the roll?
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran. Levine.
Oh, he's here.
Here.
Lopez. Here. Scary.
Here.
Legislative Chair Bartels.
Here.
Great.
Thank you very much.
And let the record show that Legislator Corcoran is here.
Yay. All right. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes of the March 29th meeting?
I'll make that motion.
And a second, please?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. All right. I think first up, we are going to have Nate and team give us a presentation about where things are. Are we doing?
I haven't put it up, but I certainly can.
I think it's better to have the visual of it.
Sure.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit about language. So we're in a bit of a transition state now, I think, with having. Spent down almost all the money, not spent down, but having allocated almost all the money. But that's what I want to talk about, the word allocated. So we've been using different language on sort of both sides of the fence here. And I want to get us using the same language. So the ARP team uses one set of language for what we're calling allocated or what we're calling expensed or encumbered. And we've been using different language. So I want to get us on all using the language now that the ARP team is using, because that's kind of where we're headed with clearly seeing what we've said yes to, what's actually been expensed, what's been spent. So I'm actually going to have Amber talk about, I'm getting a little ahead of us, but while Nate does it, we're switching our trackers. So we're going from our tracker that Amber's been doing a great job on with the pie chart, and we're going to be using a different kind of tracker, which is language that is closer to what the ARP team uses, or exactly what the ARP team's using, and so that I think it will make it clearer when we're having presentations like this exactly where we're at with money. So do you want to take a second while Nate's
putting this up? So the new tracker that's in front of you today, this is the first day that it's being presented to everyone. And the term that I've been tracking and using to this point is the word assigned. And so my intention was to use the word assigned to mean any authorization to use the ARPA funds in any capacity. So whether that's a budget amendment to fund the line, or to authorize a contract, or to dedicate funds, it would all be in the assigned bucket. So that's showing where the legislature has authorized the use of ARPA funding to date. And so you'll see at the bottom of the tracker that number is currently estimated to be $137,847. And I'm saying the word estimated because portions of the assignments are in the operating budget, and they're more like moving targets. And then going from left to right throughout this tracker, it will become more and more filled out as the projects progress. So the journal entry, let me back up. What's been authorized is what has already had a resolution in front of you that has been approved and gone through the legislative process in full. Pending authorizations are what's anticipated to be coming. And then the journal entry column, I think I will hide when it is not relevant. So journal entries are processed typically quarterly, and they are for the purpose of doing the ARPA Treasury Department quarterly filings. So we happen to have a quarterly filing due April 30th. We are going through and double checking the journal entries, making sure that everything that's expensed is captured. And then what's expensed and encumbered, those two columns, expenses plus encumbrances, is the term obligated. So ideally, Nate and my timing is perfect.
Okay.
And we work it out so that our trackers tie to each other. And so the expense plus encumbered line would then equal your obligated line on your worksheet.
Okay.
So then you have like what's remaining. So it will get filled out more and more and more as time progresses and as these projects like come to completion. So that's that.
The most important thing for me is that the committee is really clear on this. So as you look at this, if there's something that seems like it could be more clear or better explained, please, like, let's figure this out now so that we don't go on having this report and people are looking at it kind of glazed over. I want to make sure we're super, super clear on what Amber just said. So I don't know if you want to take it with you and mull it over and write back to me and to Amber and let us know if it needs clarification or if we want to talk it through now a little bit. And if anybody else who is looking at it has comments about it that they would like to help us clarify.
I could just say one thing to add on to Amber. When I receive this, I shoot it right over to Don and Ken.
Okay.
Because they, I think, we have our own system, and I want them to match as much as we can, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So right.
That's the other part.
And how about you, Comptroller?
I think we're good. We'll take a minute to review, but we're pretty happy with
okay.
this so far.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'd like you to be on the same page with all of us. So that all three of us are talking the same language here at this point.
We never want to hide journal entries, just
right.
to be clear.
Okay.
Because that's the real books,
yeah.
right? So,
well, I mean, it's clear that what this committee has been focused on basically is spending down the money or allocating the money, you know, so we can see now at this point with the amount assigned, you know, a left is $137,847. So, you know, as we're getting to that sort of lower number, we now have to start this other method of really looking at, okay, so we said that $1 million was going to go there. Has it really gone there? Has it gone through the approval process? Has it been started? Has the spending started on it? So that's what we have to start really tracking, the nuts and bolts of each project compared to what we said we wanted to spend on each project. So that's what I'm hoping we're getting with this. Any committee members have any comments on that? Or and again, I can give us more time with it because it's a brand new document, which I think we have to kind of take in a little bit. The one thing I was thinking is maybe I liked your explanation. Maybe we just do like a little cheater at the bottom of it, just so it's really clear, at least for the next one, just to make sure that we're clear what the definitions of each column are. So would that be helpful for everybody?
Yeah, I think so, especially because you had mentioned expensed and unencumbered would be total allocated, right?
Obligated.
Right. Oh, excuse me.
I will add that to the top
Thank
of
you.
That. Absolutely.
That'd be great. Okay, so for the next one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump back over to Nate and team. And,
sure, I'm going to sit here if it's okay.
That's perfect. So we had a good meeting. I've been sitting in on Legislator Corcoran, and I have been sitting in on a monthly basis, a meeting with the ARP team and with the... What's your title? I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's the longest title ever. It's Director of Research and Operational Programs.
That's right. Exactly. with Laura. And,
exactly.
It's been very helpful, actually, because it gives us a moment to kind of clarify things for this meeting so we don't have to be asking the same questions. So I found it very helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad. I think we have a good lineup where we have a standing meeting about a week before the ARPA committee meeting, and I think it helps us all prepare. So.
Great.
Thank you. Sure. Okay, so I'm just going to go through in order, try to be brief and just give the survey. Brownfields, this is two contracts. There is one with Labella that is now signed and moving, and I am working with Amanda Laval on that, who is staying in on a like a project lead type role. So I've been in communication with her. Crisis stabilization, I got a recent update from Robert Parody and DPW. They're doing some great work, moving fairly quickly. The demolition on the fourth floor, which will be where mental health will move, is generally complete, and they're going to move on to construction to complete that floor. He did give an update regarding the architect, Parmarico, and they're about 80% complete on the plans for the first floor, is what I understand.
While we're on crisis stabilization, can we just talk the numbers of crisis stabilization for a second? Because I just want to make sure everybody's clear with what we initially intended with where we are right now. Can you speak to that? Or do you want to speak to that?
I can speak to it.
Okay, great.
If that's okay.
That's fine.
okay, so this does, right, there is one resolution that this involves. So there is, to look at the entire allocated funding authority for Department of Finance, we have $2,175,000, and that comes in two different ways through two different resolutions. One was for the $2 million that is for the purchase of the property, which has occurred. We own the property that has closed, I believe it was October of last year, and or November 1, actually, forgive me. And then there's $175,000 for A&E services for the architect, and that's where we get the $2,175,000. So the closing occurred, and there, with closing costs, and we're largely looking at tax adjustments, and we can get into it, but there are about three different things that were adjusted, and it came out to $2,056,000, and we have not exceeded the total allocated authority, but we did exceed it for the purchase price of the building, and so we are here today with a resolution to try to correct that and to explain anything that's needed and ask for the authority on the $56,000.
And remember, we had talked about this actually a couple meetings ago, that this was probably going to happen, and it's still below what our intention was for the overall cost of this project. But I just wanted to open the floor to any questions about that or concerns about that.
And I can just add one thing. They were able to close the books for 2022 with the overage because it's in the capital fund, which rolls forward without needing to encumber. So that's the reason why there was enough.
Mm-hmm. Chair Bartels.
So can you just... I'm okay. I mean, I appreciate seeing that we need more, but I just want to understand when you say it's still under.
We originally allocate $3 million for this Crisis Stabilization Center project.
Okay.
So at this point we're at 2.17.
And that allocation happened in the.
That was that original resolution. Remember where we set aside. Correct me if I'm wrong here, wasn't it $5 million, three for the Stabilization Center and two for the respite houses?
Yep.
And does someone know what that resolution was?
Yeah. It was two separate resolutions. They were not tied together.
But I think the one that Peter's talking about, the one that created the so-called assignments,
right,
which was the subject of a lot of, these assignments were the subject of a lot of debate.
Right.
So
right.
It worries me when we talk about the assignments in terms of...
To me, it's more about intention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was our intention to spend $5 million on this project of ARPA, $5 million of ARPA money on this project. And so that, to me, was why we created that original resolution way back. Right?
Does someone know what that resolution
was? Wasn't it like three?
So the bucket resolution going back to 2021 was 333.
Right.
And then in 2022, there was 424.1 and 166.
333, you said?
Yep, that's the
2022.
2021 bucket 21. Resolution. Yeah, and then I have it highlighted up here. I know it's small, but this is like the detail pages of the progress tracker, which is in the committee packet. And I know I haven't broken it out. I probably will. But we have all the resolution numbers for the project, which I've tried to stay up to date on.
That's great. So in my mind, there's still around $800,000 that can go towards this project, that was our original intention. Are we all on the same page with that?
That was put in as a number through a policy, but I think it's a helpful guide to know where the intention of the legislature is.
Okay. Legislator Petit.
Thank you. It did encumber originally out of the ARPA, but at what point does it roll over from the ARPA department and fall under Public Works responsibilities?
That's a good question. I mean, my understanding was really it was about building purchase and architectural design, getting the initial place up to speed, and then it no longer becomes an ARPA, you know, project, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Chair. That's a good question, because I think it impacts a lot of the projects. Obviously, our team is three people within the division, and we have 20-plus projects. There's had to be decision points on who would be like a project lead, and certainly if we look at Golden Hill, that was, I think, a clear choice on DPW. And they were also put as project lead, and I think it was a good choice for the Crisis Stabilization Center. The practice we have when we're working with other departments is, because they know the most about the day-to-day for the project, we want them to receive the invoice, review it, sign off on it, send it to us. We enter it because we have the ARPA funds, so we actually do process the invoice and get it to disbursement. So we're like the second tier when it comes, when it's an out. There's also other projects that we're leading, but that's when it's an outside department.
But this brings up a thought about, is there going to be a moment in time where we say, okay, we have put all the ARPA money that we want to put into this particular project, and then there's going to be, we keep calling it a refund or whatever it is, you know, is $500,000 going to come back into another pot that we can then reallocate to other projects that we put on the back burner? So I think we have to figure that out internally, is like, you know, is there a date that we had in mind for, because there is time limits in terms of when we can, you know, when we have to, is it called encumbering the money? What's it called?
Obligating.
Like so many treasury, exactly. It is
obligating.
It is a lot of.
So there is a date that we have to obligate this money by, and if we want to make sure we know what we have left, we're going to have to figure out some point where we say, okay, this project is done. And that we're going to apply this same logic to many of these projects, because not all of them have used all the monies that we said they were going to use. So we should think about that internally, about, you know, and in consultation with you all. So.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. That is a federal date that's coming up for the end of 2024. So obligated is an important piece.
Chair Bartos.
Yeah, and I do think on that, at some point we will want to get an answer to the question about whether we can reclassify certain things if we wanted
mm-hmm.
to. But
mm-hmm.
the other question that I have, so looking at...
Does everybody remember, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but we brought up this idea of potentially reclassifying some of the things that we already allocated toward, you know, for ARPA funds into another pot of money, you know, basically
general
funds, exactly. And so we'll have to make that decision at some point as well, whether we want to do that.
And that would depend on the pressing nature of whatever might be left to fund that we couldn't fund otherwise.
Exactly.
Because we did spend money, and we debated over spending certain ARPA funds that could have been classified out of our general fund or just in our normal budgetary processes, where certain programmatic things that we might decide to do can only be done through ARPA. There's a lot of latitude with ARPA. One of the things that I think is confusing me with this assignment is when we relate to 333, all of the things, I really don't like this term, but I'm going to use it because it's what we've been using, is all of these buckets, they're not represented here. You know, we created buckets, and it would be if we're gonna look at 333 as an assignment, which I think is fair, then we probably need to capture all the assignments in 333 and know where things are coming out of. In other words, you know, for example, emergency responded and preparedness, like that's not captured as a bucket, right? It's not captured as an assignment. It's just captured. I want to know where we are in relation to these buckets.
I think Amber can speak to this.
Resolution 333 was amended by subsequent resolutions, multiple resolutions. So those buckets became smaller buckets that were capital project specific.
Did we amend 333?
Mm-hmm. The capital project.
We just create new resolutions.
They're new resolutions that amend the capital projects that 333 established.
Oh.
Right. So the capital projects themselves that were some not capital in nature.
Yeah.
And they were for different things. Mm-hmm. So for instance, respite houses being its own unique specific capital project was separated from the Crisis Stabilization Center, which also was its own unique capital project with its own unique location. They were just corrected so that it was more accurately represented in our bookkeeping, the county's bookkeeping.
So that split out capital project 598 into, mm-hmm. is there a way where we can classify what we've approved to see where we are in terms of original intent in distribution?
Grouping?
Not exactly a flowchart, more like to understand how much we've actually spent on food security, how much we've actually spent on nonprofit youth and community mm-hmm. programs. Mm-hmm. Not because as we broke them out, we stopped thinking of them as those categories. They become individual projects.
Right, mm-hmm. right. It's almost like the progress chart in a way. Like here was the original bucket, intent, whatever, and this is what it's then been subdivided into, and this is what it's then actually been spent on. Is that what you're asking for?
Yes. And legislator Erner points out conceptually it's this, although yes. this doesn't track the original. This doesn't track 333.
Correct.
Like we didn't have a COVID response in 333. We didn't have a government operations in 333. We didn't have a premium pay in 333. So that this is meaningful in that it's saying what it's doing, but it's not tracking it against our original concept.
Yeah.
How we wanted to distribute the money.
Let's try and do that. I don't think it would be that complicated to say, here's the original, here's the changes, and here's where we're at now.
And the changes are okay. I just think we should be aware, because it'll help us to see if we're falling short in one of the categories. Yeah. And we may say, that's okay.
Right.
We decided to spend it a different way.
Right.
Okay.
Is this complicated to do, or is it easy to pull together?
I messed around with this a little bit, but I just wanted to pull up the website for ARPA, which we'd have to check to see how specific it is to the original buckets, but we do have this online, which lists, I think it might be a month or two behind, but it lists like government operations, mental health, addiction recovery, economic recovery, community programs. So we have created something at least that.
If you hover me, the dollar amount should come up, like on the longer or the percentage.
Percentage, right.
But I agree with you, Chair Bartels. We should be as close to original intent as possible, and we should be clearly tracking how close we are to that.
And just for our own knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, because it might inform the next decision.
Yeah, because it will inform. If we haven't used all this, do we want to continue using it in this arena, or do we want to go use it for something else?
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I'm with you. All right. Let's keep moving.
Sure. And I only want to mention, because I do have an 11 o'clock item, but I will move pretty quick. And so we talked about crisis stabilization. We have talked about Elizabeth Manor. I think the biggest thing to note is there's two things. We received a draft contract from the City of Kingston, so we were working on that for $500,000, which would be their ARPA money that would come to us. So we are working on that. And we also did, after careful review, we decided that additional environmental testing was needed, and we did find lead in the building, and we are looking at that closer and likely going to have to need to work through a more of a professional demo person to get rid of that. So that's our hurdle at the moment and something we're looking at.
And there's also monies coming from Senator Hinchey's office, correct?
True.
So do we have to do a I'm assuming we have to do a contract for that as well.
Yep. And the trick is there's a financial piece they need regarding our sources and the total project costs, and we just haven't progressed far enough in our design
And potentially we might even need to, we need to potentially get additional sources before we can satisfy that and move on, you know, progress with that grant.
Okay. One thing that I just want to note is that there has been some community conversations that I've seen about progress on some of these projects. So I've talked with Laura about reaching out to folks individually, and also I just think letting the legislature know as clearly as possible where we're at on these projects would be important, so that we can go back to our constituents and say, here's where we're at, here's the hold up, we've got this, you know, remediation that we have to, or whatever it is that we need to do. So, Chair Bertos.
Yeah, I definitely think that would be helpful. I was gonna ask, on a couple of them, are you able to give updates on Brownfields and also Silver Gardens? Do we know?
Yeah. So Brownfields, I mentioned, that is two contracts, one of which is signed by the vendor and now entered into New World, and that is with Labella, and they are going to be doing a number of the phase one, phase twos. We are also working on Barton and Lagoudis, thank you. That is not signed by the vendor yet, and needs there's some just contract language we're looking
but
at.
Timeline,
and
I mean,
I was going to say timeline and also locations, right? We want to make sure that we're
locations. I feel like we had a list.
You're good.
Of
okay. All right.
Just the timeline, not of actually executing.
I can probably get more on the timeline. We do. Amanda Laval is staying on this. She moved from her role with planning to a deputy position, and I am working with her, and I'm glad to know this month that she is staying with it so that
okay,
we can progress.
Yeah. And then Silver Gardens, what's...
Yeah, there's been some really good news this month on that. It's nothing exactly that we did, but RUPCO did receive funding from HCR for the project, and we were putting everything on hold because why go into contract and fund a project that doesn't have all their funding needs, right? So now we have good news from the state that we were waiting on, and we have approval on the contract from the legislature, and we will move forward on that.
So that project is moving forward.
Yep, you got it.
And then the timeline on the rest of the water and sewers, I know we're looking at a couple of them this month. Like, when do you expect to actually execute on the
sure.
rest of them?
We have executed on one. We have approval on a total of three from the legislature. So we are working to move and execute on those others that have been approved. But really, our big push, where a lot of our work is we got in four for this month, so those are on the agenda today, which brings our total submitted to the legislature for contract at seven, and we are working on five for May 12th, which is our executive deadline for sewer and water contracts to go to the legislature.
Okay, great.
So we really, that is probably a big work item, and we're working through it.
Thank you.
Great.
All right, so let's see. Food security and access. I did put in the committee packet the minutes of the first meeting of the Ulster County Food Security and Access Network, which is through Ulster Corps and Family of Woodstock, and a contract that specifically is with Family of Woodstock, but is a lot of different participants. They had their first meeting. They are looking at the emergency feeding plan of Ulster County, and they have till the end of the year to get more of a document with recommendations on a feeding program.
So are we waiting on the contract with Community Foundations?
Correct.
Okay, so the process is Community Foundations is going to be contracted after the recommendations are presented. Is that how is that going to work?
We can work side by
okay.
side. It's just really been a capacity issue.
Right.
I'm sorry to say,
but they're not going to know who to fund until they actually get the recommendations from the committee about who.
I think they can work potentially a little bit more simultaneously.
Okay.
I think it was perceived that way.
Okay.
And there is in June. There will be a second meeting of the group, and I know they're going to want an update, and I at least want to circle back with Community Foundation of the Hudson Valley. They are waiting on a draft contract and getting that to move. Sewer and water is ahead of it, so we know it's important, and we're trying to get to it.
Okay.
But that is agreed.
Any questions on that and that relationship between those two contracts? Okay.
Okay, so green energy retrofit and job training. We have a contract that is going through final review and should be out to RUPCO for, I believe it was $400,000. And then we are signed with the CLP contract, and that we're working with them to get all insurances and then have it finalized by the county. Golden Hill Jail demo, almost 100% invoiced and complete on that.
And can I ask you to just give the update about where things are at with the city?
It passed Finance Committee.
Okay.
And I believe...
So there was a holdup on the city level in moving the project forward. That was kind of our original intent with demolishing the jail, was to put this affordable housing project up there, but it was held up in the city for a bit, but it seems like it's
it
got forward motion.
Finance Committee for the Kingston Common Council. The city, I believe, is going to propose a 50% requirement for Kingston residents to have first access when it comes to actually putting folks into the units. That's the legal limit in which they're allowed to do, which is appropriate. And so then I believe it goes to the full Common Council next month.
But that's good news that it's past that hurdle and is in forward motion. So great, thank you for that update.
The land bank, I'm just waiting to hear some news. Legal services of the Hudson.
Can I ask Chair Bartels, do we have any news about that from
you? Yeah, we had a meeting. We've had a couple meetings with the City of Kingston. The executive is hopeful that that there's at least the chance that we might be able to move forward with one countywide United. So I think that there's the desire to at least determine whether that's accurate or not before we go ahead and apply. The next step is to really be specific with the acts to the City of Kingston. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm concerned that even if the City of Kingston were amenable, it would take a certain amount of time, a significant amount of time, really, to unwind and reorganize. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to let it go, like, probably this additional month to have this next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, I will strongly be advocating that we apply in parallel to having these discussions.
Great. Okay. Thank you for that update. Appreciate that.
Legal Services of Hudson Valley, that contract, I'm expecting it to be signed any day. And I know we heard back from, by the vendor. I know that the vendor has stated that they would be able to start services next month. So we're working.
I'm hoping that's true because it's already been reported in the paper that we're doing this. So it makes me a little nervous that it's being reported and we haven't actually got the contract signed. So I don't like that because you don't want, you know, you just don't want something to happen in the interim and then it goes south and then it's been reported that we're doing this, you know.
And I think, understood, there has been a lot of activity back and forth regarding just making sure the contract language is good. We haven't seen any sign from the vendor that there's any issue, but
we're fingers
crossed on that.
Great.
So
it's a backwards way of doing business. I personally don't like it, so. All right.
Main Streets, do you want me to report? We do have economic development here, and I think largely they're here for reporting on the CARES 2. Main Streets, we're working on the contract. I think there's also, with sewer and water, just a bit of a backlog. You are welcome to add anything you wish, but I just wanted to say that much.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Joshua Stratton-Rainer, I'm the deputy director until Monday, after Monday, when I will be the interim director for economic development. I think I know most of you, but just a quick update on where we are with that. In light of the transition period for our department, the executive has okayed us to sort of slow walk this a little bit, since it is a large contract with a program that will have some complicated moving parts to it. So it's just, we feel it's in everyone's best interest to make sure that we get it right from the start, So we are making sure that we're doing everything that we can to have it set up well, and should to Nate's point, we are part of that is just reviewing the contract and making some needed amendments to it, and potentially even getting some outside help to do the program setup and really critically evaluation of the program, both ongoing and then following its official close. So more to come on that, but we expect maybe in the early summer we'll see more movement.
Okay. So this was kind of a hard push to get through the legislature. There was a lot of questions about this one, and so I just want to make sure that the ARPA team is communicating with you and your team about the scope of service that we came down on, as the final of what we were looking for this, and sort of what the vision is. So I just want to make sure that we're communicating with it, because it did get pushed back, and we had to be very clear about what we were trying to do with this money. And I just want to make sure that your team is super clear about it, because you're stepping in after the fact.
Yeah.
So maybe we can set up a meeting, with a few folks from ARPA team and have that conversation. So it's great. Anybody else have any thoughts on that particular one? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so did get an update on mental health for kids in schools. Still getting great news on that from the mental health folks at mental health and the commissioner. I did put in that we have 49 youth enrolled now. There's positive feedback from the school systems. They did say that they can accept and have the capacity for 100 youth at one time, so they are looking to get up to that speed.
So my understanding is that this program ends in June of 2023, which is just around the corner. So maybe this is an opportunity for us to look at whether there are going to be any sort of refunds coming. I keep using that word, which is not right, but if there's going to be monies that are not allocated from ARPA monies, is that something that we want to try and extend for another year possibly? Or are there other funding sources? I personally believe in this program. I think it's really important, and I don't want to see it die on the vine. Is there thoughts about how it's going to be funded moving forward from
there the was executive? From the executive? Forgive me.
Yeah.
I do not know about that.
Okay.
But we can look into it.
All right. Well, I personally feel like we really thought about this program, and I'd like to see it move forward somehow. So.
Certainly, I was going to say, if I can, Mental Health Commission, Department of Mental Health did say that they are also very eager for looking for funding, so I know that's heavily on the radar.
Okay.
So, let's see.
Any committee members have any comments on that? Any thoughts on that? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say I agree with you 100% on this. I think this is something that we do need to look at finding funding for this going forward, in whether it be funded through the budget, but I do think it's an admirable program that we do. I don't want to see die on the vine either. So
great, and I'm assuming that there's going to be some sort of reporting on the success of the program. So we probably want to look at that before we're actually committing monies. But so I don't know what the process is for that. I didn't see the contract with LaSalle to see what their obligation is to us in terms of reporting their success. But that would be great to understand that, and then to then make the decision about do we want to use ARPA funds or do we want to try and use general county funds for it. All right, thank you.
So let's see, we've got a few more. Nonprofit grant, I have provided the numbers in this report. I'm going to let the numbers speak for themselves just for the sake of brevity, if that's okay. But we are still heavily involved in dispersing funds. I think one of our worries has been the folks we haven't heard from. We've made it extremely easy to provide an invoice. And we're down to about nine of those folks, and we are still reaching out to them and of course just want them to use the money. So
can I ask, do you need any help from us on that? Like, would it be helpful if a legislator called and said, hey, we sent money your way and you're just not responding? I'd be happy to pick up the phone and talk to nine people.
Yeah, we thank you.
Yeah, seriously, send me a list, send me contact names and information, and I'll just reach out to them and say, you know, hey, we did this and collect your money. So, all right, yeah, happy to help with that.
And as a note on that, I agree. I think the personal connection sometimes with small nonprofits is very helpful, so we will gladly use that.
Great.
Appreciate it.
And this is also one of the things I've been talking with Amber about as we try and tell the story of how we spend our ARPA money. We definitely want to talk about all, like, that's a lot of nonprofits that got help, and we want to talk about how they're using the monies and how it's directly, you know, funding programs. And so, Legislator Erner.
Okay. Thank you. Just to add to that, and something you mentioned earlier, Chair Criswell, as a recommendation perhaps for the administration broadly, and let me know, or us in the legislature, if you might need a policy to help with this. There's a lot of projects in just ARPA, for example, that are located in a specific district within the county, and at least I, for one, would love to help interact with the neighbors, for example, around Elizabeth Manor, around the Crisis Stabilization Center, around Golden Hill, the last of which I certainly have been involved in, as you all know. But we have Silver Gardens located, you know, that's in a specific district as well. So some process by which you all and we can communicate more effectively with the constituency, with the public around all this stuff.
It's a great idea. Great idea.
So two things on the nonprofits and getting the word out there and what they've used. Before the end of December, I want to say prior to Hillary Harvey leaving, she had done a project with a couple of the nonprofit recipients to kind of have them do their own little videos on like how they're using the funds and how it's benefited them. So our plan with the new comms folks is to kind of work with them and have them do another round of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also perhaps involving legislators, I guess, in that process would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of informing the public, you were actually on my call along with Abe and Peter in order to go do a lot of the door-to-door notifications that we're doing, especially for Elizabeth Manor. We had planned to do it earlier, but because of the letter mediation and the demo, we wanted to kind of wait until we get a better timeline, and then yes, you and I are going to go knock the doors now.
Great, that's excellent.
That's generally the plan, is to do a lot more like door-to-door knocking and like letting people know directly, and so same thing with the work that's down for the down county. Our plan is to have reach out to the legislators and do a lot more of that work together, and also so that Nate doesn't have to be the one going and doing it on his own. But we want there to be more of a hands-on process for informing people besides just press releases. But
that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I would add on to that I think at the very least, I think it would be responsible for the member, you know, that's representing the district where the project is, to be in consultation with their supervisor and their board to kind of make sure that community awareness is out there. So, you know, whether the legislators working with the executive's office to highlight awareness, but I do think that the town government should be included in it as well, and making sure that people are aware of what's going on in the district to try to spread awareness as much as possible.
Yeah, so Deputy Kelly and I do work a lot with the town supervisors, especially from going to the Mayor and Supervisor Association meetings, or to make sure that they're all well aware, and I have a pretty good regular conduit contract with a lot of them. They know that they can reach out and just get an answer from me real quick if they just email over.
Great. That's
thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. All right. Let's cruise on. I know you got nowhere.
Okay. OSI Trails, there's good news there. And I think, again, I'm going to let the numbers speak. But Wallkill Trail complete, pre-development on the other two sections of the trail at 80%. So we're getting, I'm actually waiting for documents on like Seeker and things like that so they can get into construction. Parks Grant Program. I'm going to let Ashley speak on that, please, if you would.
So the Parks Grant application period closed, and we received 14 applications from 15 municipalities because one was a dual application. So now we're checking for eligibility, and everyone that's eligible will move on to an evaluation
committee, and then we'll make recommendations after that. So as a reminder, it was a $2 million program that was allocated, and just based on like the first numbers that we're seeing, it's coming out to $1.4 million being requested. So that leaves about 500.
Thank you. And I had brought up with Ashley and the ARPA team that there had been some concerns about the process of creating the RFP, and we had a good discussion about it, and I think there'll be better communication for the next RFP. Just a even if a cursory look by the legislator, you know, the this committee or the whatever legislator brought it to the table to make sure that the intent is clear and there. And then Ashley told me that In the first cursory overview, it doesn't seem like any of the sort of egregious things that we were completely on board with were even mentioned in any of those applications. It was like a cleanup project or something like that. So, is that still true?
Yeah, they're more like playground renovations or things like you would think.
Like infrastructure type things. Okay, great. Chair Bartels.
Yeah, thank you for having that conversation. I think it would be important moving forward. I mean, we're winding down, but in the event that there is another RFP, it should be reviewed by this committee before mm-hmm. going out, and the sponsor, both.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reading that RFP, when we saw it, it didn't... not only did it include things that weren't the intent of this committee or the legislation, but it didn't fully capture what was the intention.
Right.
And not that we would have seen a different outcome, but we can never know what we might have seen.
Agreed.
So I think that's pretty critical. But I appreciate that the ARP team is dealing with so many projects and so much that it's like, I imagine that internally it was just a want to get this out because we were very much pushing for it to get out, but at the same time, after waiting all that time,
yep.
it's more important that it get out the way the legislature and the sponsors envisioned, mm-hmm. especially knowing that for most of these projects, they're 2024 projects because towns' budgets are already set. But I'm happy to hear that there was a robust response and that it didn't hit the other notes. And in, you know, while there were certain aspects that could be seen as park renovations, part of the concern was that the funding for those types of things could be found elsewhere,
right.
like lighting retrofits,
right.
et cetera.
That makes sense.
I look forward to
we're on
moving these through. Quickly as well.
We're on the same page with this, and I spoke specifically about the resolution that Legislator Corcoran put in for the solar and making sure that we were all on the same page before that RFP went out. So
yeah.
And EV.
And solar and EV. Solar and EV. Thank you, Legislator Petit. Solar and EV. Yeah. All right, great.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. If I could have just two cares, I think it's the last one, which is one of the last ones. Could I do small business next? I know that you guys have been waiting patiently, and I don't want to run out of time before the end. So please go ahead.
I'm Sam Leota. I am the administrator of the CARES 2 Small Business Program. So at the April 11th UCEDA board meeting, the board approved the CARES 2 Review Committee recommendations for award. So we sent out 42 award packets on Monday, April 17th. The awardees are in 16 different municipalities across Ulster County. We had two program orientation webinars that were held on Wednesday, April 19th, and their setup documentation is due this week. We have an invoice schedule for the program. We expect our first invoices for reimbursement, disbursement of funds to be received June 5th. I had a great meeting with the comptroller's office yesterday. Thank you so much for that. And so we're on the same page about how invoices will be reviewed and how the disbursement process will work. And we're good to go, essentially.
Can I ask, can we get a list of all the awardees and just a sentence about what the project is?
Absolutely.
That would be great.
You should say that. This morning, a press release went out from the executive's office naming the recipients.
Okay.
And so we can certainly forward
Yeah,
that.
If you could just send that to the ARPA yeah. committee, that'd be great. And just in the future, if it's possible, if we could just see it first, if that's even possible, just because we're a little behind the eight ball then. It's like, yeah. oh, we already read that, you know. So, pardon me?
The list of the press release.
The list. Yeah. Sure. Just so we're a little bit ahead of the dissemination.
Yeah.
I'm going through it right know. Now.
Absolutely.
That'd
all,
be great.
All of the businesses were embargoed ahead of this release. Mm-hmm. So we will, as soon as we get back to the office, we'll be sending them an email, letting them know that that embargo is obviously now lifted. And
got it.
But yeah, we'll be sure to in the future do that. And yeah, again, I reiterate our thanks to the Comptroller's Office for their willingness to assist on making this a speedy disbursement program. Sam learned a lot with the CARES 1 program administration, and as that was a state program, disbursement after the state checked on everything took about what six weeks average, and so we think that we're going to drastically be reducing that to a third of that time, around there, between all of our checks. So
and did you spend all the money that
we allocated all of the money? Yes.
So it's all allocated.
I know that we are likely going to be working with the finance department uh-huh. to decrease the program delivery budget that mm-hmm. was part of our initial resolution so that we can give more of that funding to small businesses who applied.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of working on figuring that out. And we have 10 backup recommendations from the review committee that were approved by the UCEDA board as well. So if we have a non-responsive person or if we do have money that wasn't able to be expensed, then we can re-award funding.
Okay. Can you just keep us up to date on that so that we're aware of that? That'd be great.
Chair, if I could just reiterate, you know, we had a great consultation, but I want to note for everybody here, you know, this is different. Normally, if USITA had not reached out and asked us to join with them in claims processing and claims auditing these requests, we would not see it.
Mm.
Well, everything else that you're spending in ARPA is coming through our office for mm-hmm. approval. We are reviewing every claim. So mm-hmm. we are really appreciative of the opportunity to look at these, to hopefully be some backup for these guys in, mm-hmm. in the USITA organization. But it is a little bit different. And I just want to note that, you know, what you guys have done in ARPA and all of this money flowing out of the county does have a significant impact on our team because we are now reviewing another $34 million in claims, right, mm-hmm. that are sort of extra to what the budget usually is, et cetera. We're appreciative to do it. But it's an interesting pass-through, and this would have bypassed the comptroller's review.
So I was just going to ask, is there a way that we can bake in comptroller review into some of these without
everything
mucking up the process?
The county finance department cutting the check, we are reviewing.
Okay.
This, because it was USITA cutting the check, wasn't.
Right.
So I think, I'm pretty sure everything else, well, it depends. If it's going to a RUPCO,
right,
and they're getting a disbursement up front, that's
right.
a little more difficult for us. In a lot of
right.
places where we fund RUPCO, it's a reimbursement. So we'll have to look at those.
And let's have a further conversation because we want you to have the information you need for sure.
Yeah.
And if there's a way that we can solidify that, you know.
And by the way, it's been hard for us to kind of wrap our minds around. We're literally just giving money away to businesses.
Right.
Like we had a whole conversation in staff yesterday, like, what? You know, isn't this a gift? This is something normally, like claims processing,
right.
we would reject
right.
a grant to a business,
right?
Right? So we're having to, just like you guys,
yeah.
rethink it.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I could do like a little bit late. So,
okay.
So thank you. I think we've hit on a lot of things. We did talk about sewer and water. We did talk about Silver Gardens. Respite houses, I know there was a conversation at our meeting. I think we're just waiting to hear more. Do you want to talk on that?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I can speak to that. Yesterday
yeah.
we had a meeting of purchasing for the SOQs regarding, oh, Nate, were you on that one? I didn't forget which one.
I don't think so, but it's okay.
But we did do, with an operator SOQ for the respite houses, so that process has started.
Okay.
There you go. That's what I've got for respite houses.
that's fine.
Okay.
So the timeline for that RFP review and the getting
the
to a decision? Yeah.
Reston House, they reviewed the two responses yesterday. I don't think it's my place to kind of take the next step for that one, like in terms of like decisions. I'll leave that to another human. But yeah, that's time.
And how about actual houses themselves?
Actual houses themselves, we are going back. So like Gateway and People USA are the two people who responded. So we are going back to them and asking them to identify locations as part of that process.
Okay.
That is the piece that I was missing. Sorry, I need more coffee today.
Okay.
But yes, that is where that is, because the timeline for identifying locations is a problem, and the county does not want to just go out and
okay.
buy all the properties without having plans in place and people to do things and funds.
And again, I think this is one where we need to stay in good communication, just because of original intent, as to, you know, just making sure that we're totally in sync with
and
what
the... And I think the next communication point will probably be in the next week or so to give you guys a thought.
Okay, great. All right. Questions? Anyone? Okay.
So,
thank you.
Clicking on 114 Route 228, which is the former Quality Inn, that contract is fully signed. I notified the town of Ulster and the supervisor by email. Probably need to loop around and maybe have a conversation, but that project should get moving, which is great. All right, we talked about parks. Did I miss any in that look back? So I think it's just solar, which really is just getting on the chart. And I noted funding approval, and we got a lot of projects. So you know, maybe we can discuss the timeline for that a little bit more. But excited to see it approved, $2.5 million. Noted the amendments, waiting for the fully signed resolution. And of course, it will be a process to just draft everything and get it moving.
Great. Well, every time you give a presentation, it's so clear how much work is happening right now, and it's a ton. And I think it's great. I think we're, again, spending our money really wisely and really thoughtfully. And so thank you for your work on this. Any questions for Nate or the team? All right. If not, then I want to move us along to actually...
Thank you.
Do you feel okay about the tracker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm going to move us past that.
I'm going to leave it. Ashley and Molly are able to stay. Laura and I both need to go.
okay.
And so I'm going to leave it in their
perfect.
Capable hands.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you very much.
Can somebody move resolution 217 for discussion? And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So this is the Crisis Stabilization Center closing cost purchases that we just discussed, which is, I think we vetted this.
$56,000.
Exactly. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. All right. This passes. All right, resolution 218, motion for discussion.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. This is these next four. Should we block? Can we block these four?
I might have a
question. Okay, so we'll keep them separate. So this is the, these are all sewer and water, these next four. This one specifically is for Town of Marlboro. And it's the expansion of the sewer treatment plant. Any discussion on this one? Tom, you have anything you want to say on this one?
Thank you.
Okay. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion to discuss resolution 219.
Motion.
Second.
Gray, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Town of Marlboro again.
Marble Town.
Oh, sorry, Marble Town. Sorry about that.
Might give you another one.
Sorry about that. I was going to say, are you double dipping here? <or something? laughs> So, no. So Marble Town, and this is the phase one, the water service extension to Route 209 corridor. Do you have any questions on this one? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All righty. Motion to discuss resolution 220.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. This is agreement with the town of New Paltz, and it's to fund the interconnection of a town sewer district. Any questions on this one?
Yeah, sure. So I'm not sure. I would assume it would probably be this one as opposed to 221. Just a question in regards to, I was trying to look at the, in the documents about the actual map of this in regards to where exactly this is. I think it's right near the thruway exchange right there. I didn't know if this is potentially going to, is this going to have any impact whatsoever on a potential hookup with the EOC?
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know actually. Does anybody on the team know? Any
aware of it. He handled that particular project, so I don't know the minute details of it, but we could ask him if he knows.
Yeah. Can you get us back details about that? Because there's a whole conversation about whether we're going to try and tap into...
I know Nate was looking at it.
Yeah.
He was aware, so I would assume that anything like that he was finding was going to impact it in a negative way. You know, we wouldn't sort of brought it up.
Okay. What I'm hoping is that it impacts it in a positive way,
yeah.
And that it allows for an easier and more cost-effective mm-hmm. hookup for the center. So, does that satisfy your?
It solution? Does.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. Motion to discuss resolution 221.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. This is the Village of New Paltz. And replacement of the village water main. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. All right. Thank you very much. We have two quick new business things. Comptroller Gallagher, you wanted to introduce?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to introduce Elena Vugavropoulos, who is our new program quality analyst.
Great.
And she comes to us actually most recently from the Community Foundation. So
oh, excellent.
So it was interesting to hear that conversation.
Great.
And had experience in banking prior to that. So we're really excited to start digging in on some of these contracts. And we look forward to reaching out. And those of you who have not met Charles Dinstall, the new director of internal audit, I wanted to make that introduction as well. That's it.
Yeah, thank you. Elena, I think I've emailed back and forth with you at one point.
Yes.
I recognize you. Nice to see you in person. So yes. Welcome. All right, great. There's a bit of discussion about the possibility of keeping this meeting on Wednesday mornings. Is this something that would be of interest to the committee, or do we want to go back to our Wednesday evening? I have to think about this because I now have a new thing that I'm doing. We have Wednesday staff meetings, so I'm not sure I
have to think about it too.
Okay, let's think about it. We'll table it, but think about it, and I'll reach out to you all individually, and we'll get a sense of whether that's going to work or not. So. All right. Any other new business? Yes, sir.
You're good, man.
Legislator Erna.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Thanks.
So a lot of the resolutions for the committee today had to do with water and sewer, and just putting it out there for the committee, we through our county government is currently temporarily housing a lot of folks. Many of whom are living in motels which don't currently have public water and sewer, that I'm personally at least aware of several, but are located near places where we are or are contemplating extending that. I'd be interested to know if this committee or the legislature writ large would consider addressing that situation so that our residents also have access to more reliable or better water sewer situations while they're in these temporary facilities.
So I appreciate what you're bringing up. I think it's too broad for me to actually understand. I think I need to understand specific locations, what the actual problems are, and what the possibilities are of connecting it to public water, because I appreciate what you're saying, but again, it's so broad that I can't wrap my head around any specific action that we would take. So if there's a way that you could actually provide us with some information about specific places and what they're currently on or how close they are to, you know, because there's a lot of factors involved in it. Because we do actually still have monies available in this bucket that we keep saying. Does anybody remember how much?
300,000.
So we still have three, which in terms of what we're talking about, it's not a lot of money, you know, so that might
water
be able to do one project or something. But I personally would be interested in seeing what you're talking about, because we actually had a bit of a conversation, remember, Comptroller, that we talked a little bit about how do we use the rest of this money for underserved populations, and, you know, what's the best way. And this could be a viable way to do it. So I appreciate you bringing it up. I just think I want to get more specific about it. So thank you. Anybody have questions for Legislator Erner on that? No. All right. If we don't have any more business, I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Okay. 11:09.